Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand for this Monday. It's a daily podcast from Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bossert. State Senator Bryce Reeves is ending his campaign for the U.S. Senate in 2026. He announced on social media Sunday that he's quitting the race after prayerful reflection, saying, quote, "A serious family health matter and the realities of timing require my full attention at home." Reeves launched his campaign 3 months ago, an effort to unseat three-term Democrat Mark Warner. He says he remains fully committed to serving in the Virginia Senate and looks forward to seeking re-election to his seat in 2027. Reeves said the past election was, quote, "devastating to Republicans across the Commonwealth and must stop the infighting, regroup, and unite behind principled leadership worthy of our cause." The three Republicans who remain in the U.S. Senate race are Kim Farrington, a former federal government worker who later started up a financial management and cybersecurity company, Aldous Mina, an economic development consultant, and former State Department and CIA official Daniel Williams. Bill Martin, director of the Valentine Museum in Richmond, died Sunday from injuries suffered in an auto accident. Richmond police say Martin was struck by a vehicle while in a crosswalk at East Broad and North 10th Street Saturday afternoon. Charges against the adult male driver are pending. In a statement on social media, the museum says Martin dedicated 32 years of his life to the Valentine and to telling Richmond's stories with care, integrity, and a deep love for his community, calling him a deeply respected leader, colleague, and friend to everyone. Bill Martin was 71. The Federal Communications Commission voted this fall to hike rate caps for phone and video calls that incarcerated people and their families can be charged. It rescinded a reform implemented under the Biden administration. While Virginia's rates sit below those limits, prison reform advocates say communications costs are still too high. Dave Cantor has this story.
Jason Miaris was among state attorneys general who claimed the rate ceilings compromised law enforcement's ability to effectively monitor communications. Democrats in the Virginia legislature have made efforts over the years to limit communications costs in local jails and state prisons, including proposals in 2022 and 2024 to make phone and video calls free. Neither became law, despite a range of research indicating that when incarcerated people have more interactions with family and friends outside the system, they're less likely to reoffend following release. Another Virginia bill directing correctional facilities to charge the, quote, "lowest available rates" was passed in 2024. Christopher Willers, a formerly incarcerated activist, called communications costs predatory.
When it comes to rehabilitation, individuals need to be connected to their loved ones. And you're automatically creating an obstacle when it comes to having to put money on the phone.
The Virginia Department of Corrections Director Chadwick Dotson has said staying in touch with family can help incarcerated people, though the department didn't respond to an interview request for this story. I'm Dave Cantor.
Coming up in a little while, the University of Lynchburg will try a new strategy next year to help improve its financial status, a three-year bachelor's degree.
More students means more revenue for any university. So if students are gravitating to these shorter programs, it could bolster Lynchburg's overall enrollment numbers.
Up shortly, we'll have more on that story from Fred Eccles and Cardinal News. State wildlife officials are investigating after dozens of dead birds were found in Tappahannock Saturday morning. A number of people posted to Facebook about a flock of birds found on the bridge over Hoskins Creek along Route 17. One person said the bridge was closed at one point to clean them up. The Department of Wildlife Resources collected samples Saturday morning and will wait for results today from wildlife biologists. Tappahannock is northeast of Richmond and the Essex County seat. 15 months ago, Hurricane Helene brought devastation to parts of southwest Virginia, particularly in the town of Damascus. The town is located right next to the George Washington and Jefferson National Forests. Roxy Todd attended a groundbreaking ceremony earlier this month that marked the Forest Service's start to rebuilding a popular biking trail that was partially destroyed in the floods.
Tom Schultz, the chief of the U.S. Forest Service, was at the ceremony in Damascus to celebrate the rebuilding of the Virginia Creeper Trail.
This project is kind of a shining star for us that they've got about a 12-month time frame to get the work done.
Schultz said before Hurricane Helene, the Creeper Trail brought 250,000 visitors each year. An economic impact study estimated visitors spend more than $1 million every year at businesses in Washington and Grayson counties. The storm destroyed the top half of the trail and damaged 30 historic bridges. Rebuilding it will cost $240 million. Schultz said it's part of a larger effort by the Forest Service to restore national forest land throughout Virginia, North Carolina, Carolina, and Tennessee that was damaged during Helene.
We received over 12 and a half inches of precipitation in 24 hours. So the impact was to rivers and streams and trails, the community. But the forest is resilient, just like the people are. So the forest will come back. So the money really that we have is to really help recover the forest quicker and support the community.
Schultz added that Congress has appropriated over $6 billion to the Forest Service for recovery after Helene. He said the agency is contracting with engineering companies for much of the work. In Damascus, I'm Roxy Todd.
Care for family members with dementia is often expensive, and experts say struggling to communicate with that person can worsen the emotional and financial strain. Yijing Wang with member station WHRO has more.
Norfolk-based caregiver educator Marsha Brody says difficulty communicating can push families to seek costly help sooner than necessary.
What literally is happening is the brain is shrinking, it's dying. And when that happens, you lose functionality. With that functionality, one of the key things that tends to, not always, goes first is language skills that live on the left side of the brain. And so communication can become very, very difficult.
Brody says overstimulation resulting from frustrated communication can escalate stress for those with dementia. She says learning how to communicate through body language can help lower stress for patients and caregivers. Yiqing Wang, WHRO News.
Giants at the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts bring some of the works owned by music stars Alicia Keys and Swizz Beatz to Virginia's Landmark Museum. The exhibit opened in November with a visit from the musicians, but Brad Kuttner caught up with the exhibit's curator and has this report.
Swizz Beatz and Alicia Keys!
That was the reaction in an auditorium at the VMFA shortly after the exhibit opened. The pair of musical superstars, real named Alicia and Kasim Dean, spoke with kids before they visited the exhibit, now open through the spring. And while my second visit to the exhibit may have been less raucous, it was just as thrilling. Featuring 130 works by 40 black artists from Africa, Europe, the United States, and the Caribbean, Giants offers a glimpse into modern works that highlight a myriad of social issues through painting, sculpture, and photos. Here's Valerie Castle Oliver, the Sidney and Francis Lewis Family Curator of Modern and Contemporary Art at the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts, describing the two massive portraits of the creators painted by Kehinde Wiley that opened the exhibit.
They're very rich and vibrant, very true to Kehinde Wiley's practice, quoting in terms of gesture, European standards of grandeur and status.
The sprawling gallery explores many themes and stories, often through the lens of the black experience. Casa Oliver says that lens is more important now than ever.
It's essential to understanding both the presence, both historically and contemporarily, that these artists exist, that they're doing amazing things, and that what they have to say is really profound for all of us.
Giants runs through March 2026. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Next year, the University of Lynchburg will begin offering three-year bachelor's degree programs in public health and applied educational studies. The university estimates a typical three-year student will save $40,000 compared with a four-year student. The idea is part of the school's response to an accreditation warning from the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools Commission on Colleges. The association has told Lynchburg it must improve its financial condition. Lisa Rowan reports on education for Cardinal News. She talked about this story with Fred Eccles.
Lisa, how will the three-year degree program maintain the same educational quality as the four-year program?
The three-year degree programs really streamline coursework for students. They still take general education courses, but they don't take as many electives. They also will take on more advanced courses in that three-year time frame that is intended to especially prepare students for either their field or transitioning into graduate schools.
Lynchburg University is having some financial challenges right now, and they've been well publicized. How will the three-year degree program fit into the university's strategy for dealing with those issues?
More students means more revenue for any university. So if students are gravitating to these shorter programs, it could bolster Lynchburg's overall enrollment numbers. Lynchburg is also hoping that students in these three-year programs pursue graduate or professional degrees at Lynchburg at the same university, which would therefore boost enrollment and revenue for those programs over, just as many years. These three-year programs have been approved by the university's regional accreditor, but it is a matter of time to determine the true financial impact of adding these programs. But at the core of it, the university is hoping to attract more students by providing more options that fit into what students are looking for.
Obviously, the workload is going to be compressed here. So will students still have time for things like internships and research opportunities?
These shorter programs are designed to ensure that students can complete the program in the three-year time frame. It makes sure that the required courses they need to take are available when students need to take them. And hands-on work experience is built into the program as well to make sure that students who graduate from the programs enter the workforce with some experience, even though they might be a little bit younger than the typical college graduate might be.
Lynchburg will now have students trying to get more done in less time, and there have been cutbacks, faculty and staff reductions. Will those factors complicate each other?
Most of the programs that have been eliminated or will be eliminated in the coming years at the University of Lynchburg had very low enrollment in those academic majors. So many of the faculty and staff reductions have been related to those programs that were very small or not as popular. In terms of, you know, accommodating three-year students and four-year students with some limitations on campus right now, it does not appear that there would be a different student experience because of the cuts that have been made.
All of this takes place against the backdrop of the school's accreditation hinging on its ability to solve its financial problems. What is the status of that right now?
The university has been very consistent in reminding students and prospective students that it's still accredited, even though it is under a warning status from its accreditor. Most of the concerns have been about fiscal responsibility and operational efficiencies. The university has received good progress reports so far that they're remedying those concerns. So overall, the university has been optimistic that they are going to be in good shape accreditation-wise.
Lisa Rowan reports on education issues for CardinalNews.org. I'm Fred Eccles.
Cardinal News is a nonprofit independent online news organization covering Southwest and Southside Virginia. Now a look at the forecast. A gusty start to the last week of 2025. Today morning showers are eventually giving way to clearing conditions. Winds will pick up, especially in higher elevations of the Southwest. Temperatures in the upper 20s for some in the afternoon, in the 30s for most in areas east. Windy conditions continue tonight, mostly clear. Lows in the teens in the southwest corner of the state. Low to mid-20s elsewhere, making for very low wind chill values towards morning. Cold and still windy Tuesday, and highs will range from the upper 20s for Wise, 37 for Roanoke, around 40 in areas east of the Blue Ridge. Thank you for listening to Virginia On Demand, and a little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bossert.